dreams, seek after life. Trust Him and stand in awe, and cease to fear. Know Thou hast set apart all Godly men. Oh, that we might see some good, many will say. Only look and smile on us, O righteous power. Hell has given me more joy than they all know. He alone makes me to dwell safely in peace.
Happy Sabbath, dear brethren. I thank Elohim for reminding us of everything that He has set for us to do. I thank Him that He has given us the strength to love His will above our own will, and to seek greatly to unite and strengthen the work that He has set before His congregation. And as I always point out, who are His congregation? Those who love Him and keep His commandments, according to the new covenant in Messiah. Everyone who are such then are in His hands and are His people. And as such, we need to understand that we need to unite. It is the calling, and sometimes the humble voices that make the callings are not heard by many. And we see that all throughout the scriptures, because people have other expectations, and they question, who is this person and who is saying this, rather than really paying attention to what's being said, to understand that this is the will of Elohim for his people. And when He puts it in the heart of His servants to start making that call, to make that call for people to unite, they have to have that humble heart, the humility to understand, to hear in that still, that this is the still small voice saying, we need to unite. We see this all throughout the Old and New Testaments, especially in the Old Testament, in the times of the kings, since David and Solomon, how the Israelites would fail, and then here and there, but then there would be one leader. For whatever reason, his heart awakes to see the condition of the congregation of Elohim and of the temple in light of what the commands are, as Josiah did when he discovered the law as they were cleaning and they found it, and he said, and he compared what was in the scriptures with the reality around him. And so his heart was awakened to say, we need to fix the problem. So all of us, if we love Elohim, that should be an automatic thing for us to do as well. Because those that love Him behave like that. If we love Him and we know what the scriptures say concerning being united, what Elohim means by that, not what we say or what our environment or culture or human experience dictates. No, it's what the scripture says. If the scripture says we're supposed to be in a certain way, just because we're not in that certain way doesn't mean we're supposed to stay that way. When we see what's in the scriptures, we have to conform to what's in the scriptures. And I think all of you who were there last Sabbath and were there and heard the message that was shared last Sabbath with the Yahad group, and I think, Elohim, it was recorded so that all who want to hear it or share it with others can do that, and that we should have a humble heart and a loving heart to love the truth. Sometimes we have the adversary works so that we are contraproductive, that we actually are going against what we should be doing. That when we hear the truth rather than see it as truth, We resist it and fight against it because we can't stand to hear people tell us to do anything. And because we allow Satan to let pride rise in our hearts so that we resist the truth rather than just recognizing it for what it is and stop looking at the messenger. Like many people had issues with the Apostle Paul because they expected him to be one way. And then they didn't like what their senses, their physical senses saw, what he looked like, what he sounded like. Oh, they said his letters are strong, but his speech, his appearance, whatever. This is not sound. And we need to safeguard ourselves against this demonic way of thinking. So when the truth is spoken, the spirit of Elohim, which is the spirit of truth, can lighten in our hearts to understand very simple things. Just because the world is blinded, the world is blinded by so many things. Because Elohim said, I'll send them a great delusion, so that they will believe a lie. But those of us that are truly loving Elohim and understanding that He uses people, and we know when He's using people by what's being said, because He gives us the scriptures to evaluate what's being said. And when the speaker is saying what the scriptures say, then we know it is the will of Elohim that's being manifest. Even when the speaker is evil, let alone when the speaker is a person made just by Elohim who has repented, genuinely repented of the sins. Right? So let's work, because today is the third month, and we're going to look at a few things in the third month and close off with reviewing Pentecost a little bit, because it's the third month and Pentecost occurs in the 10th month. And today, for those of us who follow the commands of Elohim according to New Covenant Scriptures, we have been counting 7 Sabbaths. Since the first fruits of the wave sheaf, we've been counting 7 Sabbaths according to the command. And today's the 6th Sabbath. Today's the 6th Sabbath, and the day after, the first day of the week to follow that 7th Sabbath of next week will be Pentecost. So that's why we're going to look into it a little bit today so that we can focus a little bit more deeply on it next week. So today is the 6th Sabbath, okay? So that being said, the third month started last week, last Sunday, and today is the 7th day of the 7th of the third month. Today is the 7th day of the third month, because the third month, according to the calendar, begins on the first day of the week. Okay? So to start this off, I'm going to need some volunteers. If feel free to volunteer for more than one, that will help. That way we will get the reading done first. I need volunteers to read Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Can I please have a volunteer for that? Okay, so think about that, and then we're going to read 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verses 5. And I'll tell you where to stop with that one. 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. Then we'll need to read 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. 2 Chronicles verses 15, verses 1 through 10. Then 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 5 through 7. Okay, we will read Esther chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. We will read Ezekiel chapter 31, verses 1 through 11. Okay, we'll do this first, and then we will do a little bit more further readings later on. Okay, so I'm hoping I have some volunteers. So, Brother Felix, if when I ask for the reading, if no one starts, just read for me, okay? I will repeat again what to read. Thank you. So let's begin, all right? So what we're going to do briefly now, as this is the third month, Elohim in the scriptures has recorded for us a number of events that has occurred on the third month. Some people don't understand that that's important, but it is important. When Elohim tells you when something happens and gives you a month or a day that it happens, we need to understand that that timing is important. That's why it's there. He's not going to waste time to tell you on such and such month, on such and such day this happened. It's not just there to decorate the papers. It's there to inform us. And when we get informed about these dates and things, we may find ourselves understanding future events a lot better. Because sometimes what Elohim does is that he uses things, he does things in a certain pattern so that those who are awake and sober can know. And those who are not, those who are simple in the sense being unintelligent, simply pass on. Or uncaring, callous, they just pass on. Let's not be like that. Let's see what he says happened on the third month. So please, please, do we have a volunteer for Exodus chapter 19?
Okay, I'll read that verse.
Thank you, brother.
What verse up to?
Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 5.
Okay, here we go. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up to Elohim, and the Eternal said unto him, called and said unto him out of the mount, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wing, and brought you out, and brought you unto myself. Verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Amen. So you see, dear brethren, an important event, this monumental event that occurred when Elohim came down on Mount Sinai with the thunderings and the lightnings, the sound of the trumpet. This happened on the third of the month. Some try to pinpoint what day. I'm not going to try to do that because it doesn't say that. And I've not seen really anything to pinpoint a day. But what we do know is that it occurred on the third month. This is the third, we're in the third month. Even on the Hillel calendar, it's the third month, coincidentally, this year. And in the Hillel calendar, Pentecost will be tomorrow, okay? Because they started a counting of the sevens a little earlier than the Bible really prescribes. But that's, you know, tradition and its choices that people make. Everyone, every group, every organization is free to make choices as they please, as they understand best. So I'm not here to condemn anyone or any group, but I'm just saying that we will read this in the portions of Leviticus 23 to see that the count of Pentecost does not begin in the middle of, during past the Passover week, but at the end, the week after Passover, it suggests that it starts. But so we see this important thing. And on that day, so now turn to chapter 20, brother, and read verses 1 through 5. So we see here the Elohim came down on the third month. Oh my goodness. Does it impact us? It impacts me. Elohim, the infinite being, came so tiny and came on, manifest himself on this mountain. Comparing to how he is, this is tiny. It might have been frightening to the Israelites and the many strangers there, but this is Elohim in a very humbled form to come down in this mountain. Okay, people are like, he's so humble. He like limited himself so much, you could say, in scope and to come down on that mountain. But the people were still terrified. And read chapter 20 to verses 1 to 5, brother. Nice and loud. Thank you.
And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I'm the Eternal, your Elohim, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elim before me. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve. You shall not bow down yourself to serve them, nor to serve them. For I, the Eternal, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of hate of them that hate me.
Amen. Okay, so it was on 3 days later, 3 days after he told Moses this, on the third month. Again, we don't know what date was. At least I don't know. Some people believe they do know what date was Elohim came on that mountain. I'm not going to venture for that, as I said. But 3 days after he told Moses this, when Moses went up to the mountain, he came down just as he said, and he gave them his 10 words, the Decalogue, the 10 commandments. He gave them the 10 commandments in their hearing, in all the various languages. I want you to understand. Some people would make you think this is just in, no, it's not just in Hebrew. It's in all the languages of the people that were there, and they heard his voice. They all understood what he was saying. Remember, there were multitudes of strangers there. Keep that in mind. So they understood what was being said. So everyone heard his voice in their own language. Okay? So just a quick recap. So Elohim called Moses up to Mount Sinai to tell the Israelites they will be his peculiar treasure. If, there's a big if they obey and keep his covenant. And then 3 days afterwards, on that third month, Elohim came down on the mountain and declared his covenant law. That was it. That was it. And later on, much later, as they sinned, he added punishment after punishment. A few moments ago, our brother Gene read about the curses and the blessing, particularly the curses. Okay, all these things came about because the rebellion and the disobedience of the people. All these other things were added. Okay, so brother, I'm just going to continue with you if you don't mind. Go to now. Read First Chronicles chapter 27, verses 5.
27 verses
5.
What chapter?
Chapter 27, verses 5.
Thank you. Okay, so 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verses 5. The third captain of the host for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the chief priest, and in his course were 24,000. That is, this is that Benaiah who was mighty among the 30 and above the 30, and in his course was Amizabad, his son. The fourth captain was for the fourth month was at Sahel, the brother of Joab and Sabadiah.
Okay. Yes, brother. Thank you. So you could stop there. So I wanted, as you see, what's going on here is the assignment of chiefs and captains over the people. I actually should have had you read a little earlier, but it says here in verse 5 that the third captain of the host for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. And interestingly, he was a chief priest, and in his course were 24,000. He was, mind you, he's a chief priest chosen to do what? To serve as a captain of the host. Do we understand Elohim's law? Here is a chief priest. At this month, he was selected to serve as captain of the host. You know what the host is? The armies. Captain of the host. So the important thing about this is something I've been saying before. People try to tie, people who don't understand, don't get the whole scripture, they try to tie down people, try to do this, do that, as if Elohim's law has all the limits of their limited understanding of what's written. Here you see in the third month that a chief priest was to serve as captain of the host. That was his course. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a chief priest. If anyone's thinking all the others are Levites, no. That's why I said read a little bit on. Verse 7 says, and the fourth captain for the fourth month was Asahel, the brother of Joab, and Zebadiah, his son, after him, and his course were 24,000. So they're not all Levites, but here a Levite, not just a Levite, a chief priest, Benaiah, is serving as captain. This is why when people today in the New Covenant try to say, well, I'm a pastor and that's what I do, or I'm a deacon and that's what I do, that's a lot of human pride. First of all, a lot of these people claiming to be pastors, and they're not even a pastor, they're not really even a deacon. They just call themselves that because of their tradition, because of how they were raised. They may mean well, and some of them don't mean well, but it's still wrong. Because as we see in Acts, in the book of Acts, concerning Philip, Philip, one of the seven, chosen to be a what? A deacon. But yet, he served as an evangelist proclaiming the gospel among the Gentiles when the congregations were under persecution under Paul. So we're not tied down to anything. We have, it's a matter of the need. And once we understand that it's a matter of the need, we will function better. We will function better and serve Elohim. It is our job to one way or another do everything. And some people even accuse Peter or Paul because both seem to say that they are ministers unto the Gentiles. Of course they were. Peter was indeed a minister unto the Gentiles. It doesn't mean he was necessarily a permanent minister unto the Gentiles as was Paul. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't have the full details. But Paul was also a minister unto the Gentiles. There's no contradiction and there's no conflict about anything. Is that Elohim will use his people in many ways. David was a shepherd. And he was chosen to be a shepherd of the people. He was also a warrior. He was also a psalmist. He sang and he prayed and he played instruments, all in form, in service of ministry to Elohim. He just didn't do it in vain, for his own vanity or for his own pleasure. Each of these things he did by the guidance of the Spirit of Elohim. It is the Spirit of Elohim that gave him strength to watch his father's sheep so that he could kill lions and wild animals that would attack his sheep, his father's sheep. It was the Spirit of Elohim that allowed him to sing and play in such a way to calm King Saul's demented spirit. It was the Spirit of Elohim that gave him the victory in the fields. It was the Spirit of Elohim that gave him the wisdom and love to become king and serf. So we must be free in the Spirit. That's the point when I saw this today. I didn't know this until today, honestly. This particular thing about this Benaiah was a high priest, yet he's serving as a guard. But when? On the third month. And that's why it's important to be mindful of what Elohim is mindful of. If Elohim tells us there's a first month, then we must be mindful of a first month, a second month, a third month, a fifth month, and fourth, and 12th month. And so we have to be mindful of what he is mindful of. So now read for us 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I think Sister Cherie volunteered to read that. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 10.
Now the Spirit of Elohim came upon Ahaziah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and Judah and Benjamin. The Eternal is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. A long time Israel has been without the true Elohim, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Eternal Elohim of Israel and sought to him, he was found by them, and in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but the great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So the nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for Elohim troubled them with every day adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these things and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, He took courage and removed the abominable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the city which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Eternal that was before the vestibule of the Eternal. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who sojourned with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Eternal, his Elohim, was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa.
Amen. Thank you, sister, for reading that. And before we continue reading, please, if any of you want to volunteer to read, the next reading will be 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 5 to 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 5 to 7. That's the next one we're going to read. So if we could have a volunteer, when I say read it, you don't need to say I'll read it. Just start reading immediately, okay? Thank you. If not, Brother Felix or Sister Cherie will carry on. All right, so it's a beautiful passage, beautiful, powerful passage that reflects what's going on today in the congregation of Elohim, the congregation of Elohim today, that the body is supposed to be united, scattered, and in so many ways assaulted, insulted, belittled, made fun of, mocked, ridiculed, not for good, but for our failure. And that failure comes from not being united in Elohim, which Elohim is greatly opposed to. For those of us who were there last Sabbath, we know the things that were said. Step by step, looking through the scriptures, how it's so important for the unity. So here, because the sins here of the people brought him to this terrible condition. Again, the tie-in with what Brother Gene read about the curses. And all these things came upon the people. Verse 5, in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. That's what Elohim said through Moses and through many prophets after Moses. So they're experiencing this troublous time. What are we experiencing today as so-called believers? As being involved in the service, I receive emails. I receive information on Facebook. People asking for help. Fellow believers asking for help, not just one. And so far, we've been able to help one carefully, as one of our sisters cautioned us to do. Let's watch and see how he behaves so we can see. And I thought that was good wisdom from that sister to share that with us, from our sister Rose, actually. So I am saying, because we're not united, a little thing like helping a brother or sister, knowing who a brother and sister is, we can't do. This is one of the key things I mentioned, why we need to unite. We could know who we are so that when one of us is in help, we're not wondering, is this really a brother or sister? But we can know it's a brother or sister because we can do that if we reestablish if we behave according and obey our Master Yeshua according to the dispensation or the administration of the law as he told us. Now, one of the key things is our unity. That must never be broken. Just as the light in the temple, the menorah, that light must never be turned off. Just like the daily and morning sacrifice, those things must never be turned off. Our unity must be a real unity. It can't be something that's imaginary. Because if we don't know who we are, then it's imaginary. We're just saying we're united, but we really are not. Because the unity that the scripture speaks for requires that we know each other, requires that we're in contact with no matter where we are. And we saw in the scripture that's how it is. That's how it was. They did not have internet. They did not have phones. They did not have motor vehicles, airplanes, and no. But somehow, because of diligence, they were committed to staying each other. No matter, it didn't matter if they were in Jerusalem or in Ephesus or in Corinth or wherever they were in connection. And we even saw that among the seven churches. It was a route so that communication flowed between the congregations. But today, with all our technology, we are not. And so many people, brethren, are suffering. There's a young woman, she texts me, she asks for prayer because of situations that she's facing. You know, she's struggling in life, yet there's no one to help her. Okay, so in other words, the body of Messiah, that's one way the body of Messiah is suffering. Another way is that people are held captive through false doctrine because there's not enough communication going around. They're held captive in false doctrine. They're experiencing broken marriages because of false doctrine. They're experiencing people telling them to have more than one wives because of false doctrine. Because of some ministers that are destroying families, teaching their perverted doctrine of polygamy. That's not right. We need to be united so we could combat these things so people people don't fall into those pitfalls. And usually I hate to say the victims are the women. It's sad. Because these men take advantage of them in their weaknesses. And when I say weaknesses, in their desperate circumstances. We are to defend these things. How can we defend if we're not there? But we are each, but if we unite, we can do that, and we can if we follow the things that Elohim told us to do, as we brought out last Sabbath. There's certain things we can do that fixes these things. Let's move on. So we have problems just like here. But what happened is the spirit of Elohim in verse 1 told Azariah, the son of Oded, to meet Asa, and he told Asa what to do. Benjamin, Judah, and strangers, and the strangers. There were strangers there. Do you understand? That's why I'm trying to say to you. We need to understand what there's the people of Israel, and that's the bloodline Israel that's walking uprightly. Those people that are of the bloodline of Israel that are living wickedly, they're cut off. Everyone don't read, he doesn't consider them Israel. They're just Israel by name. It's those who are obedient to Elohim who's Israel. Israel has a meaning. It means one who is walking with Elohim, one who is overcoming with Elohim. How are you overcoming with Elohim if you're sinning and doing? No! These are not just labels people tack on their backs. Oh, I'm Israel. Or I'm a pastor. Or I'm this. No. Each of these words have special meaning. And you are what your actions, by your actions, by your works, not by a label. But we see besides the Israelites that there were strangers there. Strangers. Where does it say that? Verse 9 says, and he gathered all Judah. Who did? Asa. He wasn't despised. The people could hear the voice of truth. And so gathered. But you know, there are a lot of people, they could hear the voice of truth, they won't do it. Because they allow the adversary to blind themselves from the word of Elohim. They can't distinguish the word of Elohim. And so they don't hear. But here the people heard. And let me read from verses. And when Asa heard these words, that's from the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. Let's take courage. And put away the abominable idols of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Eternal, and was before the porch of the Eternal. So he took away the things that should not be, and establish, and began to establish the things that should be, the things of Elohim. Verse 9 says, and he gathered all Judah. Again, that working of unity, that's where we are today. That's the problem today, is the lack of unity. If we unite, you will see the power of Elohim pour forth. Until that happens, he's not, because he's not compromising his ways. He's not going to compromise his covenant. He wants us to turn and do what's right. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them, out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. And when they saw that the Eternal, his Elohim, was with him. How many people are not paying attention to who their speakers are? Where they're learning from. They don't understand. You must follow the law of Elohim and who you listen to. You must see if the spirit of Elohim is working in that person's life. The thing about the person you look for is the person living right. That's the sign. It's not how much they know or how well they speak. It's have they repented of their sins and they're doing justice and righteousness and they love Elohim and they love people. When we start listening to Elohim, we will begin to see the power of Elohim working. It's sad. Pentecost is just around the corner and we're not united. They fell to him out of Israel in abundance, and when they saw that the Eternal, his Elohim, was with him, and they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. These are important things, okay? This is why this month, we have to understand, and the world is in a sense clever. They know when important things happen in their months to celebrate them. They've been celebrating wicked, they're wicked, whatever they want to say, and we don't do that. This is when this happened. Asa, the spirit of Elohim called the prophet to speak with him. And he understood, he listened, he was strengthened, and the people saw, and they followed, because they could hear. And they knew Asa. So let's go to the next one. Who's our volunteer to read 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 5 through 7? Please, just start reading for us.
And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Eternal their Elohim, and laid them by heaps. And the third month, verse 7, in the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Eternal and his people.
That's good. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right. Thank you for that reading. So we see here that in verse 7 it tells us, in the third month they begin to lay the foundation of the heaps and finish them in the seventh month. So again, the third month. And we see in verse 2 that Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, and priests and Levites for burnt offering. So he established these things. Verse 3, he established the king's portion of what the king should receive. Because remember, Elohim had told the Israelites through Saul that when you appoint for yourself a king, he's going to take of your substance. Something which wasn't being done until a king was established. Who asked for the king? They did. He gave them judges. But he accommodated them and gave them kings. And this, let me just digress here. I've used to struggle with this. He says, you must obey my commands, my statutes, my judgments, and so on. Sometimes like, why is these three things being said, commands, statutes, and judgments? Well, in some cases, these things refer to things that are written down. It's written, like the Ten Commandments, and it's written down. Other times, it's decisions Elohim will make known at the time. Sometimes for the benefit of the people, sometimes for their chastisement. Well, always for their benefit, but sometimes to refresh them and bless them, and sometimes it's to chastise them so they can learn. So according to their request for a king, they had to lay aside a certain portion for the kings also, as said in verse 3. And of course, the portions for the priest, that's according to the Torah itself, what was written down. So, but by the third month, they began to lay that foundation. What's going on with the third month that all these things are there and we're told? It has to do with the gathering. It has to do with all covenant behavior, as we saw in Asa. Just because it didn't say covenant, it is a covenant. They came to him, and they listened to him. They worked together to fulfill the will of Elohim, to reestablish the things of Elohim. Now the people are kind of like united, so now he's getting them together to establish the portions for the kings, for the priests, and so on. And this was being done from the third month unto the seventh month. That labor of obedience was finished until the seventh month. And verse 10 says, and Azariah, the chief priest, remember Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Eternal, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty for the Eternal, have blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. So they were put, and we could hear Malachi's voice, bring the tithes and offerings so that there may be food in the Beit Elohim, the house of the Eternal. So this happened in the third month. Let's try to move on. In this one, in Esther chapter 8, verses 9 to 11, we won't turn to there for lack of time. Here in Esther chapter 8, verses 9 to 11, scribes recorded what Mordecai commanded the Jews, the lieutenants and deputies and rulers throughout India, all the way through Ethiopia. The scribes wrote down his order. And what was that order? He commanded that the Jews defend themselves and destroy all the enemies who would attack them. We know the situation with Haman getting the king to sign, to decree an edict that to destroy the Jews. Well, here Mordecai, after the work of Esther, he gave this command throughout all the provinces from India to Ethiopia, that the Jews should defend themselves, and that was recorded on the 23rd of the third month. That's in Esther chapter 8, verses 9 to 11. I'd like someone to please read for me Ezekiel chapter 31, verses 1 through 11. Ezekiel chapter 31, verses 1 through 11.
Ezekiel chapter 31.
Verses 1 through 11 verses 1 and 11, sorry. Verses 1 and 11 with a loud voice.
Here we go.
And it came to pass.
Go ahead, brother.
And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness. I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness.
Thank you, brother, for reading those two portions for us. So here, the prophet Ezekiel, and the word of Elohim came to him, and it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the first month. So that would have been the first day of the week when that happened. See, that's why it's important for us to understand the calendar, because we can then begin to understand the nature of the first day of the week versus the Sabbath day. There's a difference, but the first day of the week has its importance too. You will see, when you understand the calendar, how many things happen on the first day of the week. But that's not the point. The point here is, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Eternal came, the Devar of Elohim came to me saying. And we have to understand, when the word of Elohim came to him, it's different than when the Spirit comes upon him. It's a little different when we look throughout the Scripture. That's another study for itself. That's why Elohim has his everlasting arms, which are his word, his Devar, and his logos, and his ruach, his spirit. But here is the Devar, the word of Elohim that came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, not just to him, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? So he goes, explain it, and the edict is understood in verse 11. I have therefore delivered him into the hand of it's translated as mighty ones of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven out for his wickedness. Now, quickly thing here, the word mighty ones, Ail, it's not the word Elohim. I checked. But it didn't say El or Elohim. In other words, not Elohim or Elohim, but a mighty one. So it's really the word Ail, which means strength or strong. So you could understand, he said, I will deliver him into the strong hand of the heathen. That's really what it says. I checked. That's why I know I'm not a Hebrew expert. But when you see things like that, we should be alert and check the actual word. So to deliver him into the strong hand of the heathen, or to the strength of the heathen. So it was on the third month, on the first day of the third month, that Elohim told Ezekiel of the coming destruction of Egypt. You know, that's important. That's important. Let's try to move on. Let me just see how much time I have left here. So much I would like to do. Okay, so I'm going to end here and just summarize the things I would have said about Pentecost. But I did complete the review of the things that the important things that the Bible, our Bible record, said happened on the third month. There are more, but these are the basic ones found in the 66 books. So quickly, in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it shows that it was on Pentecost, that's the 15th of the third month, as we understand, the middle of the third month, that the disciples were in one accord. And when did that happen? On the first day of the week. What were they doing? They were in one accord. Did they know the Spirit was going to do? No, they did not know. But the importance was that they were obeying Elohim and being in one accord, all of them. There were 120 about there. These were the devoted ones that gathered themselves together, the devoted ones, and the Spirit came upon. Also in Acts chapter 20, verses 15 to 23, here Paul purposes to go to Jerusalem to keep Pentecost. He was in the foreign land, but he was hasting, going from one place to another. Verses 15 to 23 tells, going from one place to another to quickly, so he could be on time in Jerusalem for Pentecost, even though he has heard much dangers await him. So our last one, second to the last one, is 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 to 9, Paul waits at Ephesus. He's at Ephesus at that point in time, but he waits there up until Pentecost. So he waits and has Pentecost with them, because a great door has been opened for him to minister, although he was advised he has lots of adversity to expect there. But he waited up until Pentecost. So this occurrence was when? The third month. You see, we can know these things. A long time ago, someone, oh, you know what? This is happening. I was like, how do you know that? You can know that when you know the scriptures, when things happen. And it makes more sense. So all these things I've just read all occurred in the third month. And I'm not going to read the portion. I was going to read Leviticus 23, verses 15 to 22, but we'll reserve that for next Sabbath. So thank you for listening, and thank you for everyone who read. And if you wanted to read and didn't get a chance, thank you for that. Back to you, Brother Felix.